This podcast is supported in part by Australian Ethical.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Good evening, Lewis.
Hello, Dan. How are you?
Good. Welcome to Irrational Fear. This is a podcast that you co-host.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember.
I do remember, and I feel like this is going to become a running bit where I have to come up with a new excuse. Well, in fact, I just tell you the real reason that I'm late or I'm kneeling.
That's good. I want to hear the real reason why you're late.
So, well, I don't have anywhere to record this podcast because I live in Sydney and therefore, you know, it's not like I have a podcast room. Like I barely have a bedroom.
You don't live in regional Australia where you can afford a podcast room?
No. And even if I lived in regional Australia, I don't think I could afford a podcast room. I am cobbled somewhere around in my child's nursery. So she's now in our bed and I just hadn't quite done all of the necessary logistics of that. So I had to put her in our bed while she was asleep, had to get all the microphones that she'd packed away because they can't stay out throughout the week because we don't have enough space for things like anyway. So now I am currently, my microphone is on a change table. The computer is also on a change table and, yeah, I'm. That's the situation. So I was 4 minutes late.
Can I say I feel privileged that you're here, and I feel very sorry for your baby's health that this
Thank
podcast
you.
Is disrupting her sleep, and I feel sorry for your health because ultimately you've probably got to retransplant her back to this podcast room.
Oh yeah, it's high risk. It's high risk. It's better be worth it.
And I'm very sorry for the relationship in your household. I feel like this podcast may be a source of tension. And maybe we all need to go to couples therapy together.
Thruples therapy. It's a booming
thruples therapy.
A booming sort of business in inner city Sydney where there is enough polyamory to make it work.
This weekend we got our live show at the Women in Media Conference. So if you've already got tickets to that, that's great. We'll see you there. And the following weekend we're doing shows, a big live show at the Torres Strait. So if you're listening and you're in Far North Queensland or want to get to Far North Queensland, Thursday Island, Monday the 18th, we're going to be performing live in the Torres Strait. I'm recording my end of Irrational Fear on Gundungurra and Tharawal land. Let's try listening. Let's have a voice. Let's start the show.
The following program contains rude words like Mark Latham, blockchain, and Twitter. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences. Comedians, experts, laughing at the world as it burns down around us. This is...
Are you ready?
A Rational Fear.
Tonight, Albo goes to China after being invited by Xi Jinping. This in stark contrast to Albo not coming on Irrational Fear after being invited by me. And UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has rung the alarm bell, saying that the total and utter climate breakdown has begun and the world is going to get much worse very quickly. In other news, Kanye West is on holiday in Italy and Mamma Mia, those photos are spicy. It's the 7th of September 2023 and with more tough decisions than the RBA, this is Irrational Fear.
This is Irrational Fear.
Welcome to Irrational Fear. I'm the former CEO of Qantas, Dan Illich, and this is the podcast that takes the news and turns it into a delicious quiche. Let's meet our news chefs for tonight. That person has not come. Let me just skip over.
It's Albo, Dan. He's the Prime Minister.
Albo was going to come tonight, but he has cancelled. He's ditched us for Xi. Can I just quickly say, Albo retweeted a sketch I made on Friday, so that was pretty exciting to have the Prime Minister retweet one of your sketches.
Can I quickly just jump in with an Albo social media thing? A friend of mine recently sent me a text. He was like, I don't know if you're aware of this, Lewis, but the Prime Minister of Australia follows you on Instagram and you do not follow him back.
That's a power move.
I'm like, take that Albo. What are you going to do for me?
Let me get to our guests. Here we go. They're an editorial cartoonist whose work appears in The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. It's always good to have a professional doodler on the podcast. Megan Herbert, welcome to Irrational Fear.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Megan, what is the secret to being a professional doodler?
Staying in my little studio all day long and listening to a hell of a lot of talkback radio.
Oh, no.
So sorry.
Can we get some help for Megan, please? Oh, God.
Do you want to join Truffles Therapy, Megan?
I'd really appreciate that. Let me tell you, Lewis, it does get better. My son's 11 now. You'll get out of this. It's going to be okay.
Thank you. I really do appreciate that.
And he's an activist. He's a writer. He's a maker. And he's the designer and the creator of the new hot board game called Gas Tycoon, coming to shelves near you. Please give it up for Matt Bray. Welcome to Irrational Fear, Matt Bray.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here and talk with all these lovely people.
It almost sounded there when you said coming to shelves near you, Dan, that you said coming to shells. I'm like, oh, they're putting it in shells. Well, that's very progressive for shell service stations.
Well, actually, it would be brand synergy. I've got a note here saying that Gas Tycoon has very little similarity to Monopoly for legal reasons, very little similarity. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Matt about his game Gas Tycoon, but here is a message from this week's sponsor. Hear that? That's the sound of Alan Joyce getting away from Qantas as quickly as possible. And thanks to legal action from the ACCC, you can now get away too. For every ticket you buy on Qantas, you can sit on a flight that hasn't been cancelled. We'll even throw in some wings and a seatbelt for free. That's right, buy a ticket, fly in a plane, and get away from your baggage, emotional and literal. And as an added bonus, if we see you crying in the arrivals hall, we might cast you in our latest ad. We're always on the lookout for crying customers. Qantas. Get away from us. Thank you, Qantas. This week's first fear, cartoonists have drawn a line in the sand, which is absolutely terrible for their inkwells. Disgusting. And many have pulled their cartoons from consideration from the Walkley Awards this year because it turns out, and I don't know how a group of investigative minds have discovered this, but Australia's most prestigious journalism awards are sponsored by a fossil fuel company, Ampol. In fact, it gets a little trickier than that. It's not so much sponsored by Ampol, but the Walkley Awards were founded by the founder of Ampol with family money. The Walkleys are Ampol. The Walkleys are fossil fuels. No journalists have really pulled their work from this year's lineup, but lots of cartoonists have. Megan, you are part of the vanguard of cartoonists who have pulled your work from the Walkleys from consideration this year with a bunch of other high-profile people. How did you all swiftly draw to the same conclusion?
Well, it's funny, I can't speak for any other cartoonist, but I know that I gravitate towards cartooning because I have sort of a smart aleck energy and I've got a lot of opinions, but I'm also terminally non-confrontational. So I'm very happy to have all my opinions from behind the safety of like my statement glasses and my you know, drawing board. Quite happy to do that. So the fact that this gaggle of cartoonists came out from behind their drawing boards, all kind of independently of each other, triggered by John Kadelka putting his blog post out and all of us then looking into the thing we'd just submitted our entries to, it all kind of just snowballed. But there was very little organization. There was no kind of consensus. We all just independently realized that that didn't make a hell of a lot of sense, entering an award ceremony sponsored by the thing we're constantly lampooning.
Mm.
So, I mean, it was sort of a no-brainer, really.
So you got you, John Kadelka. Who else has pulled? What other big kind of cartoony names have pulled their
awards? Fiona Katauskas, First Dog on the Moon, Glenn Lalieve, who was the Cartoonist of the Year, I think, last year. Who else did? David Rowe, Christopher Downs, a whole bunch. It was something like 10 or 12 cartoonists, which is quite a lot, really. When we really did not, there were no emails going back and forward. There was no sort of consensus. It was all done just a bit of a
snowball
effect.
There was no great conspiracy from the cartoonists.
No. And this idea that there's a sort of a big boycott as well is quite strange, because it was just individuals deciding not to enter or pulling their own entry. So
it's incredibly politic of you to say it's not a boycott. It's just a series of individuals all pulling out universally. That feels like, I feel like I'm talking to Scott Morrison about a boycott. It's not a boycott.
I told you, terminally non-confrontational. Don't come at me,
We're just all not going independently as a group.
Yeah. Quite separately, not going together.
Correct. Unfortunately, Dan, I think Michael Looning was going to pull out, but he already pulled out last year when he found out Pfizer was a sponsor.
Well, would you believe Lunig has thoughts on this list? He actually says that it's futile, and he says that if they want to change the game, they should use their illustrations to make change at the Walkleys. Well, thank you.
I don't feel like you, either individually or as a group, boycotting this event would stop you from drawing the cartoons that would still talk about it. I feel like Poquena Los Dos, Michael.
Correct, Mundo. And, I mean, a lot of what Lunig and a couple of others who jumped on that bandwagon, Johannes Leek and Mark Knight, also had things to say, you know, it all sort of is living behind a Murdoch paywall. So I don't really know the details of it, to be frank, but I think it's just a whole lot of old men yelling at clouds.
Does this mean Cartoonist of the Year could perhaps go to Johannes Leek? Is this what we're hearing?
I think it most definitely could. I think there's going to be a sort of fossil fuel charge, turbocharged table with, you know, everyone will turn up in their hot rods and I don't know what
this
it's
is great.
Be.
I mean, I could illustrate. I could do some pro fossil fuel illustrations and enter them into the Walkleys. I could win a Walkley.
Yeah, the whole situation is metaphor rich and we love a metaphor. So,
Matt, what about you? Are you going to enter anything to the Walkleys now that the competition is a bit more sparse? The heavy hitters are gone?
Now that there's a bit of room, I think you might as well, you know.
They don't have a best board game category, best satirical board game.
The podcast that takes the news and pours it over ice. This is Irrational Fear.
This week's second fear, Burning Man, more like Bogged Man, am I right? As 70,000 people descended on the Nevada desert, so did the rain from Tropical Storm Hillary, causing everyone there to be trapped in the mud with no working toilets and with pharmaceuticals that were useless against cholera. Fearmongers, is Burning Man high on your festival list? Lewis, let's start with you. You want to go to Burning Man?
Look, I was at Splendor in the Grass last year.
We both were.
Yeah, I you know, when I see a festival that wet now, it's like triggering. Just like, get me out of there. And I was in the good part, you know. We were in the fancy part, and it was still not very pleasant. So I do think that a lot of the perks of Burning Man, the reasons you go, the nudity, the drugs, etc., very hard to do in the middle of any kind of wet weather. It's not normally the wetness that people seek at Burning Man.
Yeah, and these days it's not a scarce commodity. You can find that kind of stuff anywhere.
That's right. Plus, Fire Festival 2 is coming down, so I don't know why anyone's going anywhere else.
People who went to Burning Man have written op-eds to combat the media kind of hype around Burning Man being shit. And everyone who went to Burning Man seems to, like, have had a good time in the mud. Lewis, you'll love this. One of the links I sent through to the group before the podcast was a op-ed written for the Sydney Morning Herald by three people who, at the bottom of the article, said these people are from Bondi Beach.
No,
they're local Bondi creatives.
Yeah, I kind of wish I had have gone, you know, 8 years ago or something when I really could have gotten stuck into it. I feel like now, anytime I feel like anyone who's like, I want to go to Burning Man, I'm like, good for you. Anyone who I think is like an old person who goes every year, I'm like, I feel like you need a new hobby. That's my personal opinion. I'm just like, this isn't for you. I think that about most music festivals, to be honest. I'm like, there is a time and a place for you to go, and there is a time and a place for you to let it go to the next generation of enthusiasts. You can do the drugs at home.
That's it. You can do the drugs at home, and you can get naked at home. I get naked at least twice a day at home.
I get on acid twice a day at home.
And you don't have to go to the trouble of like building a disposable city for the 70,000 people.
No.
Which seems to be a lot of effort, really.
At some point there was fake social media accounts claiming that there was an Ebola outbreak at Burning Man, which the CDC had to dispel rumours of. The CDC tweeted saying, this is fake, it's not true, there's no Ebola, but wouldn't that be like the best like Black Mirror episode? Like tech CEO, helicopters into Burning Man, gets Ebola. That would be fantastic.
But they also had rumours of trench foot. Did you hear about that?
Trench foot?
Trench foot, as in World War I.
It was only 9 days?
Foot.
You can't, yeah, can you get trench foot in 9 days?
Onset of trench foot, 10 hours.
Wow.
If your feet are wet for 10 hours, look out.
Well, I also learned that the mud there is some particular type of mud that is very bad for you. So you really need, that's why people are walking around in rubbish bags because, trench foot.
Wow. There was one kind of comment in that Bondi Beach article that said that when they walked from their tent to the toilet, they would gain another 15 centimetres. So because the mud would just cake on to their feet. And that's appealing to me as a short guy. Like, I'm up for that. I mean, that sounds pretty good.
How wild is climate change that you can't feel safe from rain in the middle of a desert? Like, we've really lost our minds.
A rational fear. It is the end of the world. You may as well laugh about it.
If you're listening on the free feed, you're about to hear some ads, and we'll be back with Matt Bray to talk about the Gas Tycoon board game. But if you're on the Patreon, you'll hear us talk about US comedian who made a joke about Australia not having any exports. If you want to hear this very serious and funny conversation about GDP, sign up at patreon.com/irrationalfear. Here we are at the special part of the show where we get to talk about one of our favourite superannuation companies. That is Australian Ethical. You know, not many people get the opportunity to talk about it. Wax Lyrical. I was going to say Wix Lyrical about a superannuation company, but Lewis.
It's such a shame, isn't it? When you said all those years ago, Lewis, I want to do a podcast about the news with a special focus on climate change, I said, Dan, why don't we do one just about our favourite superannuation company? And you know what? We were this close. It was 50-50, you know? We nearly did just an entire 45 minutes a week all about superannuation. And we could have, and it would have been a hit.
Yeah, it would have been a hit. I mean, one of the best things about this show is being able to talk about climate and take it seriously, but with a funny edge. And that's what we've done over the last 10 years. And it's so nice to have somebody back us in with that. So Australian Ethical, they do the same kind of thing. They don't make jokes, but they move money from companies that are doing bad to companies that are part of the solution. So that is so exciting. If you've got a stack of money in your superannuation and you don't know what is happening with that money, chances are you could be funding something terrible like weapons of war or fossil fuels or child labour even.
Yeah, and you know what? If you are, I don't know, another company and you think, at the moment I'm giving all my money to the Joe Rogan podcast and I wish I could give it to someone who is doing better, you can. Spotify, if you're listening.
Yeah.
We'll take 100 mil a year.
Look, we've got one sponsor. We could have another one. Is that ethical? I don't know. I'll have to check with Australian Ethical.
Look, Spotify is very green on its logo.
On its logo. The logo is very green. That's true. So big thank you to Australian Ethical, who have been ethical with people's money since 1986.
Hold up.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's a rational fear.
Joining us now is the creator and mastermind of a brand new board game where you can create your own fossil fuel fiefdom. It is called Gas Tycoon. Matt Bray, you are the creator of it. Tell us about Gas Tycoon. What made you want to make a very, very similar but not too similar version of Monopoly called Gas Tycoon?
Gas Tycoon came about after a couple of years of hearing the shift in the narrative from the fossil gas industry. It started with ScoMo talking about a gas-led recovery.
Oh, yeah. That's something we've spoken a lot about on this show. Like, if you want to go back into the records, you know, we talk about curing COVID with a gas-led recovery, curing COVID with pipelines. That was it, yeah.
So it was a thing that made me start to think, well, what's happening here? Because they're starting to distance themselves from their bedfellow coal. So what is their play here? And then it started to be like, oh, they're the big transition fuel. And I kind of think, well, let's dig into this. And so for the past 6 months, I thought, well, here's the idea then. Let's expose what actually is happening with these big players in the fossil gas industry and let the Australian public play them, see how they actually operate, get some little insights and feel the rush of being a gas tycoon. It plays well and anybody can be a gas tycoon.
So this is actually a training mechanism to become a lobbyist.
Yes.
Or a billionaire.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. I do enjoy like the chance cards that you've got here, which are really good. I particularly like this one, the pass the buck card here, which is good. I love this one here, the spy versus spy card. Did you know Australia bugged the Timor-Leste cabinet before oil and gas revenue sharing negotiations? These are really good. They're very, very educational and very funny. You must have spent a lot of time writing jokes. Are you tired from making this game?
That is my constant, being tired, generally. That is how I live. Right. That is how I live now. But, yeah, researching
sounds
those...
like someone needs a gas-powered recovery.
Yes. But, yeah, those little... And they're not chance cards because there's two... They'll be too Monopoly-esque. But they do... Each of those cards is a little tidbit that references an article that anybody can go out and read. So it's not really me saying, this is my opinion of the industry. It's me saying, look, here's some information that's out there presented in a way that hopefully will be enjoyable and also make you think, oh, we're a bit fucked, aren't we?
I love this one here. We bought a zoo about WA resources industry getting a whole bunch of money and putting into government projects. Did they buy a zoo? Did they sponsor the zoo?
They are sponsoring the zoo as part of that $750 million package in WA. So interesting stats in there.
Well, you know, if you're going to destroy some habitats, you need to make some pens to move all the animals to the new habitats. And those animals, they look like the real thing.
Yeah.
Soon they're going to be like, it's going to be like Las Vegas where they'll blow up an old, you know, Jook and Gorge sort of beautiful artifact, but then they'll rebuild it in smaller scale in Perth.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. A great Lego Maskers-esque TV show.
Yeah, rebuild all of the things that Rio Tinto blew up.
You've gone absolutely crazy, Matt, in getting ready to market this. You've even got radio ads. Let me play one of the radio.
Play Australia's number one fossil fuel board game, Gas Tycoon. It's fracking good fun.
I got a Senate inquiry.
Order now to find out who will be the biggest.
Gas, 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 Gas Tycoon.
Go to gastycoon.com.au.
Wow, that is, you've even got a theme song. And if you go to the Gas Tycoon Kickstarter page, you can see the ad. The TV ad, which has got like puppets. I guess puppets are kind of like symbolic. Is that right?
Puppets are symbolic of not having a budget to have actors.
Right. How far away are you from your Kickstarter goal?
It is currently at 7%. We've just started the campaign. We've got a few things planned to keep the thing, like, you know, to generate some interest. So I'm pretty confident, but I have had two failed Kickstarters previously. So, hey, who knows?
Oh, so have I. It's great. Crowdfunding is a little tricky. It's a little tricky. Sometimes you fail, but that's okay.
Sounds
you just got to get up and
it is tricky.
Try to milk
I think
it,
the
milk
good thing this time is that I have created 100 prototypes of the game, so I know how to get production done. I've sent 15 or 20 odd games to politicians and some to media. Anthony Albanese might be enjoying this game soon.
You don't need to give him a game. You just need to give him a shirt with Gas Tycoon written on it. And he'll wear that. He'll wear that for you.
He could be one of the little tokens.
Yes. Mm.
And Tanya. Tanya could be there.
Tanya can be a token, yeah. I've got a question. Like, here's the thing. Like, Monopoly was initially designed to be an anti-kind of capitalist, anti-kind of landlord game. But what it does is indoctrinate people into greed. And it destroys families. Let's be real about that. It really destroys families. But are you concerned that people will play this game and they will want to become Gas Tycoons themselves?
Well, in researching the game, I did look back at the history and that the roots of it was an anti-capitalist kind of board game. And then it, you know, got coerced and now it's like everybody enjoying just screwing over their friends for money. And if that ends up being the legacy where I create a whole lot of Gas Tycoons, I'll take it. You know, you got to go down in history for something.
This is just all about legacy for you. It's not actually about achieving any kind of theory of change.
At least if there's like 100 Gas Tycoons, there'll be some competition, you know?
Yes.
Is there any gaslighting in Gas Tycoon?
There's many ways it could go because I'm still developing the final retail version. So I'll take back on any feedback. There may be gaslighting.
Well, there you go. That's great. Well, the good news is if you want to become a Patreon supporter of Irrational Fear, Matt is going to send out 5 to the next 5 people who sign up to Patreon. So thanks, Matt, for that. That's going to be great. Like it's quite a really well thought out game. Like it's very well done.
I actually really surprised myself in how well it turned out.
If you want to plug Gas Tycoon in one sentence, what would you say, Matt?
It's fracking good fun for the whole family. Get on board.
That is it for Irrational Fear. Big thanks to our guests, Matt Bray and Megan Herbert. Megan, do you want to plug anything?
Yes, you can catch me every Thursday morning from 9 till 10 a.m. on RPPFM, which is your peninsula radio station.
Oh, hello.
Doing some comedy with myself and Emily Watson on a little show called You're Welcome. Otherwise, you can see me on the gram.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Wonderful. Excellent. Yeah. That's a good plug. Lewis, are you on doing any kind of peninsula radio yourself?
No. I'm off radio. I've sworn off it for at least another week. But I am doing a live tour at the moment. You can come and see me and Michael Hing doing our last show ever tour. We've still got dates in Brisbane, Bendigo, Canberra and Newcastle to go. And if you can't go to any of those, you can listen to my other podcast, which is called Silver Bullet.
Excellent. And Matt, I know we've just plugged Gas Tycoon, but do you want to plug anything else?
Anything else? The fossil ad ban. Like, let's ban everything. You know, let's get the tobacco-style ban on fossil fuel advertising. It does no good for Australia. Let's ditch it.
All right, great. Last week I made a little sketch about The Voice, and it is on pretty much all the social medias with Irrational Fear, and it's already done over 500,000 views. Like, it has been absolutely crazy. I recorded it at home, and the audio was a little bit loud and distorted, and I thought, oh, it's okay, no one's going to see it. And I published it. I published it thinking it would get like 100 views, but it ended up getting 500,000. Mm. So you can go check that out. And I hear Brad Blanks, friend of the show, Brad Blanks, sent me a text early in the morning saying, Ben Simmons's mum reposted the Irrational Fear voice clip. So how good is that? That is fantastic. Taika Waititi liked it.
Wow. Yeah, Alba reposted it. I almost fell over when I saw Taika liked it. That's
so did I. I was so excited.
Sorry, Dan. I tried to watch it, but the audio, it was just too bad.
That's why it's got captions, Lewis. It's got captions. yeah. Anyway, so 500,000 people watch it. So it's that'll be in the email out. If you missed it yourself, you could check it out there. Big thanks to Road Mics, Australian Ethical, our Patreon supporters. We had quite a few Patreon supporters sign up this week. I will plug them all next week. But a big thank you to Bill Vickers, who signed up at the maximum amount, and he is a big supporter of the show. So thank you, Bill. That was excellent.
Thank you, Vickers.
Jacob Round. Yes, thank you, Bill Vickers. Big thanks to Jacob Round of the Teppanyaki Timeline for all of his sketch work. Until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit. Credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
This podcast is supported in part by Australian Ethical.